بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. May Allah salah and salam be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his pure and noble family, his noble companions, and those who follow their suit until the day of resurrection, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. Yes. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. Can we have the first verse, inshallah, brother Ayman? Are you ready? The translation of the meaning of the first verse. This is the translation of the meaning of سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. Glorify the name of your Lord, the Most High. Jamil, Jazakallah khair. Excellent. First, regarding Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this is ayah, this is a verse from the Book of Allah, an independent verse, and it is not from Al-Fatiha, neither from Al-Baqarah, neither from Al-Imran, neither from any chapter of the Quran. On its own, it stands as an independent verse, initiating the beginning of every surah except Surah Bara'a, which is surah number 9. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Glorify the name of your Lord, the Most High. The addressing here is to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is addressing him. And the addressing in the Quran is of three types. The addressing in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of three types. The first type is that which is specific to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And this requires a dalil, this requires evidence that the addressing is particular to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second type is that there is evidence to indicate that the addressing is general, not specific to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third case, in when there is no dalil, there is no evidence for neither this nor for that. And in this case, it will be specific to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of wording, but general regarding him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ummah at large, at the ummah at large, in terms of ruling, So, in this sense, alaykum assalam, rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. I will repeat these important classifications. Al-khitab al-muwajjah lil-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi al-Qur'an ala thalathati aqsam. The addressing in the Qur'an, which is directed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is of three types. First type, evidence is established that it is particular to him, and thus it will be particular to him, specific to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second, evidence is established that it is general, and thus it is general. Third, that there is no evidence to indicate either one, and in this case it would be specific to him lafdan, by wording it will be specific to him, and by ruling it will be specific to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the ummah at large. Let's take some examples. The first example, in Surah Al-Sharh, يقول الله عز وجل ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك. Haven't we opened your breast for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and removed from you your burden? This is specific to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This addressing is specific to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. This is from Surah Al-Sharh, verses 1 and 2. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Another example for this, in Surah Al-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 79. Wa arsalnaka lin-nasi rasula. And we have sent you, O Muhammad, as a messenger to mankind. This is particular, therefore, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this addressing. As to the second example, hello, yes, hello, Ms. Tikalimia. Okay, alaykum as-salam, rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. I invited you, but I don't know where you were, but I'll try to invite you again. This is alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Okay, now the second type is the addressing in which there is evidence that it is general addressing. Like, for example, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, O Prophet, إذا طلقتم النساء, listen to this, إذا طلقتم النساء فطلقوهن لعدتهن, as in chapter 65 verse 1, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, O Prophet, when you divorce women, divorce them at their عدّة, at their prescribed periods. So the addressing in the beginning is, O you Prophet, Ya أيها النبي, in the beginning of the verse, addressing the Prophet, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here, he didn't say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, Ya أيها الذين آمنوا إذا طلقتم النساء, O who you believe if you divorce women. No, he said, Ya أيها النبي, O Prophet, when you divorce women. And he didn't say also on the other hand, Ya أيها النبي إذا طلقت النساء, O you Prophet, if you, meaning in the singular form, you divorce women. But he, Allah said instead, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمْ. This therefore indicates that the addressing is the directly to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, as well as to his ummah at large. As well as to his ummah at large. And then the third type is, the third type, that there is no evidence to indicate either one, and therefore it would be by wording specific to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and by ruling it will be specific to him and to the ummah at large. This is abundant in the Quran. This is abundant in the Quran. Here in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. نعم, سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. طلقتم, plural, yes, the term is plural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and glorify the name of your Lord, the Most High. What does this glorification really mean? The voice is cutting. Is it also for others? Is it cutting also for others? Okay, now, طيب. The glorification, سبح, سبح اسم ربك الأعلى, meaning نزه الله, glorify Allah by declaring that he is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any defect, free from anything that doesn't fit his majesty and his greatness. This is the meaning of تنزيه, to declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, high is he above any imperfection. This is the meaning of تنزيه. So if you say subhanallah, it means أنني أنزه الله عن كل سوء. It means that I declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any defect and any imperfection. That's why from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the name As-Salam. As-Salam, the one free of all defects, and Al-Quddus, the holy, the perfect one. And let's take some examples. From the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hayah, is the living. Then his living subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Yet the living of the creature is imperfect, because the life of the creature is preceded with non-existence, and it is not eternal. Not only that, what follows it is extinction. كل من عليها فان, everything on it will perish, as in Surah Al-Rahman, verse 26. Another example, the hearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no defect in the hearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He hears everything. Even the woman who came complaining against her husband to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And Allah spoke of his story, of her story in Surah Al-Mujadila. She used to speak, or she spoke to the Prophet. She spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Aisha was in the apartment. And she couldn't grasp. What she was saying. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. Indeed, Allah has heard the statements of her, the woman, and she, her name is Khawla bin Sa'laba, that disputes with your, with you, O Muhammad, concerning her husband, Ibn Samit, and complains to Allah. That's why Aisha commented by saying, الحمد لله الذي وسع سمعه الأصوات. All praise is due to Allah, the one who, whose hearing has encompassed all voices. The woman came complaining to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of her statements I couldn't even hear while she was in the same apartment. So the meaning of sabbah means to سبح, meaning to declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any defect and or imperfection. So it means glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioning His name. And don't just mention that in the Quran, in the heart, but rather in the heart and on your tongue. And that by the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, فَسَبِّحْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ. So glorify with praises the name of your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most great. That is because the tasbih could be in the heart, could be also in the creed, and also could be by the tongue. And it could be by all of that. Meaning, therefore, the believer makes tasbih in all of that, in his heart, uttering also in his tongue. Rabbik, sabbih, isma Rabbik. Ar-Rabb is Allah. And the name means, Ar-Rabb means Al-Khaliq, Al-Malik, Al-Mudabbir لجميع الأمور. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, Al-Malik, the one who possesses everything, Al-Mudabbir لجميع الأمور, the one who runs the affairs of all things. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the creator, He is Al-Malik, and to Him belongs the kingdom. وَهُوَ الْمُدَبِّرْ لِجَمِيعِ الْأُمُورِ. And the one who runs the affairs of all things. The mushriks, the pagans, the polytheists used to testify to this, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells about it in the Quran. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. And if you ask them as to who created the heavens and the earth, they would say, Allah. This is in Surah Luqman, which is chapter, which is verse 25, Surah Luqman, verse 25. And also in Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse 87, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. And if you ask them who created them, they would admit and say, لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. They would say, Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us, if they were asked, أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. Who provides for you from the sky and the earth, or who owns your hearing and sight, and who brings out the living from the dead and the dead from the living, and who disposes the affairs, they will say, Allah. Say, will you not then be afraid of Allah's punishment for setting up rivals in worship with Him? So they, the pagans, the polytheists, they admit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to him belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth and all that's in between them. And to him belongs the running of the affairs, and to him belongs the creation. Yet they worship with him others. They set up rivals with him in worship. And this is due to the ignorance. How do you testify that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, the unique one, who is Al-Khaliq, the creator, Al-Malik, the one who possesses everything, the one who runs the affairs of the thing, yet you worship others besides him? So the point to make here is that the meaning of Ar-Rabb, the Lord, is that he is the creator, Al-Malik, the one who possesses everything, Al-Mudabbir li jami' al-umur, the one who runs the affairs of everything. So whenever you hear the term and or the name of Allah as Ar-Rabb in the Quran, then remember Al-Khaliq, Al-Malik, Al-Mudabbir. Al-Khaliq, Al-Malik, Al-Mudabbir. Please make the, if you can cut the summary of that which Brother Abu Maryam just put there. Alhamdulillah, that will be good to keep it in your notes. Every person who testifies to these three matters, then it is incumbent upon him that he worship none except Allah, as it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. The first command in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ, O mankind, اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, worship none except your Rabb Allah, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, the one who created you, وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, and those before you. Chapter 2, verse 21. He is saying, Allah here, اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم, worship the Lord that created you, meaning لا تعبدون غيره, don't worship other than him. Then comes الأعلى, سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. الأعلى stems from العلو, loftiness, and the loftiness of Allah and the highness of Allah and the transcendence of Allah is of two types. The transcendence of the rank or the attributes, and the transcendence al-ulu lizzat, the transcendence of the essence of Allah himself. As to the highness of the rank or the attribute, then to Allah belongs the most perfect attributes. قال الله تعالى ولله المثل الأعلى, and to Allah belongs the most and highest parable, as in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 60. As to the transcendence of Allah himself, indeed, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above creation, risen on his arsh in the way that fits his majesty and his glory. And if a man, if a person says, Ya Allah, O Allah, you will find him directing himself and his heart in particular upwards. Upwards. فالله عز وجل فوق كل شيء مستوى على عرشه. Indeed, Allah, the most majestic, the most high, is above everything, arose over his arsh. So Al-A'la, if you read it, then feel within you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high, most perfect in his attributes, and that he in himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala by himself, is above everything. And that's why the person, when he prostrates to Allah, he says, Subhana Rabbiya al-A'la. Subhana Rabbiya al-A'la. Far removed, Allah is above every imperfection. My Lord Allah, the Most High. He remembers, the person remembers his lowness. Why? Because now he is prostrating. He's standing up, and then he goes to suful, to a low status, to a low place. And therefore, the most noble of the person and the highest of that in him is his face. yet he puts it on earth, the earth upon which the feet of people steps, and therefore it is from the wisdom to say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, far is removed Allah the Most High, the Lord, my Lord above everything the Most High, meaning I declare him far from any imperfection and that he is above everything, because I came down to that which is the lowest status for me, to go into this physical low place. And therefore here you declare the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his most perfect attributes and in him being above creation. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verse says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى, the one who created everything and then proportioned it. Second verse please. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. خَلَقَ here means created, meaning أَوْجَدَ مِنَ الْعَدَمِ, brought to existence from non-existence. All the creatures Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it to exist. He subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal nasu duriba mathalun fastami'u lah. O mankind, a similitude has been coined, so listen to it carefully. Inna alladhina tad'una min dunillah, verily those on whom you call besides Allah, لن يخلقوا ذبابا ولو اجتمعوا له, they cannot create even a fly, even though they can combine together for this purpose, meaning they can combine all their powers and all their ways and means for this purpose to bring it to reality, but they cannot. وَإِنْ يَسْلُبُهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُهُ مِنْهُ ضَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ, and even though they combine together, and if the fly snatches away a thing from them, they will have no power to release it from the fly. ضَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ, so weak are both the seeker and the sought, the seeker who seeks other than Allah, and the sought, the one being sought by others, being deified by others. And this is a great parable, a great similitude. All of those that you call besides Allah, لن يخلقوا ذبابا, won't be able to create a fly, even if they were all together and combined, even of all the aliha, all the gods that is worshipped other than Allah, and all the leaders and people in authority, and all the engineers come to create a fly, one single fly, they wouldn't be able to achieve that. And in our contemporary times, with the advancement of industry, this great and tremendous advancement, if all of those creation combine their efforts to bring forth and to create a single fly, they wouldn't be able to. Even though they say that they have made a robotic person, they are not able to create a fly, because this robot is only a combination of tools and instruments which moves, but it does not go hungry, it does not go thirsty, it doesn't feel the cold, it moves only by control. The fly, it couldn't really create. All those combined, other than Allah, they wouldn't be able to bring forth into creation that of a fly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the only creator. And how his creation, how does it take place? It takes place by one word. By one word. إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَىٰ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمْ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. The similitude of Jesus, of Isa, with Allah is like that of Adam. He created him from dust, then he said to him, be, kun, this is the word, kun, and he is. Also in Surah Yasin, verse 82, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Indeed, he commands if he wants anything, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his command is to say to that thing, be, and it will be. One word, all the creatures will die and perish, maybe eaten by the earth, or eaten by prey and beast animals, or by fire. Yet on the day of resurrection, on the day of resurrection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather them all by one single shout, which is the second blowing of the trumpet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. It will be but a single. Can you hear me now, please? It will be but a single shout. So behold, they will all be brought up before us. They will all be brought up by us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, before us. Sayyid. This is Surah Yasin, verse 53. All the creation from mankind and jinn, the beasts and the insects and the like, will be gathered with one single word. Even and therefore and hence, Allah, the Most High, the Most Majestic, alone is the Creator, and none else creates with Him or besides Him. وَالْخَلْقُ, and the creation is easy for Him. One word. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَوَّى. عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. فَسَوَّى. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who has created and then proportioned it. Created and then proportioned it. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proportioned what He creates on the best form and the most suitable form. Man, for example, Allah mentions concerning the proportion of man, الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ فِي أَيِّ صُورَةٍ مَا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ. Allah is the one who created you and fashioned you perfectly and gave you due proportion in whatsoever form He will, He put you together. Also we read in Surah At-Teen the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Verily we have created man in the best stature, in the best mold. There is nothing of the creatures better in the creation in terms of form than man. His head is above, his heart in his chest, on a perfect form. And that's why the first thing that will enter under the saying of Allah, فَسَوَّى, is man. الَّذِي خَلَقَ, the one who created, and then فَسَوَّى, and he proportioned what he created. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proportioned according to the way that is most suitable for it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the third verse, وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, meaning that He is the one who has measured everything, has given everything its due and exact measure and preordainments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Furqan regarding this, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. He created everything and has measured it exactly according to its due measurements. He created things in their essence and in their attributes, everything having a specified measure, a specified lifespan, specified conditions, specified and limited bodies. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Everything is preordained in exact measurements, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in that verse, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. He created everything and has measured it exactly according to its due measurement. Then Allah says, فَهَدَى. So follow these verses now. خَلَق, created. سَوَى, proportioned. Then قَدَّر, preordained everything in its due and exact measures. Then what? فَهَدَى. Then he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, guided. Then he guided. And the guidance here, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. The guidance here is of two kinds, and this comprises the two types of guidance. The first type of guidance is, can we put those to Brother Abu Maryam, jazakallah khair? The two types of guidance, it's very important. The first guidance is, now, creation, proportion, ordained and guided. Now, concerning the guidance, it comprises two parts. The first is Al-Hidayah Al-Kawniyah, the universal guidance. The universal guidance. And the second type is the legal guidance. So these are the two types of guidance. Al-Hidayah Al-Kawniyah, the universal kindness, guidance. And the second one is Al-Hidayah Al-Shar'iyah, the legal one, the legal guidance. What is Al-Hidayah Al-Kawniyah? What is the universal guidance? Al-Hidayah Al-Kawniyah, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created everything for the purpose for its existence. We take from Surah Taha, chapter 20, verse 49 and 50, the saying of Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, when he told Musa, he said, فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. Who is your Lord, O Musa? قال ربنا الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. Our Lord is the one who gave everything. He created its form and nature and then guided it. And then guided it. You will find every creature, Allah subhanahu, except that Allah had guided it for that which it needs. The child, when he is born and when he wants to suckle, Allah guides him to the breast to take from it and suckle from it that which he needs. Look at the minute insects. Look at the ants. It doesn't build its homes, its houses in lofty places. But it rather does, I'm sorry. It puts its houses, it builds them on lofty places. Why? Fearing from flood. That water will enter its holes and thus finishes it up. Ruins it. And when rain comes, and if there is any food supplies from grains and so forth in here, in its houses, it will take it out when the sun rises, when the sun appears, exposing it to the sun. Why? Lest it should get rotten. And before it stores its grains, it will eat the parts of the grain, the sides of the grain. Why? Lest it will grow and this will عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. And thus it will be of no benefit to them. This is something witnessed and experienced and known. Who is the one who guided the ants to all of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the type of universal guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided every creature to all that it needs. As to the legal or legislative guidance, this is the thing which is of particular importance with respect to the children of Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made that clear, even to the kuffar, even to the disbelievers, that Allah had guided them in the sense that He showed them, directed them. Listen in this respect to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people of Thamud, the disbelievers of Thamud, the tribe of Thamud. وَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى. As to the people of Thamud, we showed and made clear to them the path of the truth, but they preferred blindness to guidance. Here is the legislative guidance, and this is the guidance which is intended in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Verily, I have not created the jinn and the ins except for the sole purpose of worshipping me alone. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about that? So that we resort to Him in all of our affairs. In all of our affairs. If we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the creator who brought us from non-existence, and thus if we are inflicted with a disease or a sickness or illness, then we resort to Allah. Why? Because the one who created you and brought you to exist from nothing is all able to correct that matter in your body. And thus resort to Allah your Lord and depend upon Him. And there is no problem for you to take from the medicine which Allah had made allowable for you. Yet with the belief, with the firm belief that this medicine, this treatment is one of the causes which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created. And if you are cured and healed by this cause, the one who truly gave you the healing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this created means. He is the one who subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this medicine a cause for your healing. And if He wished, He would have made it a cause for your destruction. And this tells us that when we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the creator, then we resort to Him in all of our affairs. If we know that He is the one who guides, and thus we seek His guidance, we seek His Sharia to follow, and this is our legal guidance, so that we reach that which He had prepared for us from the noble life in the hereafter. Then comes the next verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brings out the pasturage, and then makes it dark stubble. فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala also eliminates. Then He subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. We shall make you to recite, meaning the Quran, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall not forget it. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Annahu yuqri'uhu al-Qur'an, makes him recite the Qur'an, wala yansahu al-Rasul, and the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not forget it. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to hasten when Jibreel bring him or brought him the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah reminded him by saying then, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآنه ثم إن علينا بيانه. Move not your tongue concerning the Quran to make haste therewith. It is for us to collect it and give you the ability to recite it. And when we have recited it to you, O Muhammad, through Jibreel alayhi salam, then follow its Quran recital. Then it is for us to make it clear to you after the recitation. So after this admonition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam used to listen until Jibreel finishes the recitation from the revelation. Then he would repeat it alayhi salatu wa salam. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. We shall make you to recite so that he shall not forget it. يعني, except that Allah wishes for you to forget, because the matter is in Allah's hand. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتِ. Allah blots out what He wills and confirms what He wills, as in Surah Al-Ra'd, which is chapter 13, verse 39. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, we know concerning the abrogation of the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verses 106 and 107, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. Whatever a verse or a revelation do we abrogate or cause to be forgotten, this is the point, or cause to be forgotten, we bring a better one or similar to it. Know you not that Allah is able to do all things? Know you not that it is Allah to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth? And besides Allah, you have neither any wali or protector or guardian nor helper. And maybe it's that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forget a verse from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately will make him right away remember that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the following verse, إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. So we shall make you to recite the Quran so you, O Muhammad, shall not forget it except what Allah may will. He knows what is apparent and what is hidden. He knows what is apparent and what is hidden. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all that which is apparent, all that which man yani utters and we hear from, or others hear from him, and وَمَا يَخْفَى, that which is hidden, meaning not apparent. All of these, both Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Allah they are all known, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Qaf, chapter 50, verse 16, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. And indeed we created man and we know what his own self whispers to him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. And we shall make easy for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the easy way. The easy way, meaning to do righteous deeds. This is from the promise again. This is another promise from the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he will make it easy for him. He will guide him to all that which is easy in all of his affairs, especially in matters related to the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the companions that there is no one of mankind except that his seat or his place in paradise or in the fire of hell, except that it has been assigned to him, all the children of Adam their places, their seats in paradise if they were from the people of paradise, or in the fire of hell if they were people from the fire of hell. All of that has been written. They, the companion said, when he informed them about this, the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, أَفَلَا نَدَعُ الْعَمَلِ Tay, brother Abu Maryam, Zakallah khair. أَفَلَا نَدَعُ الْعَمَلِ وَنَتَّكِلُ يعني على ما كتب. They said, why should we carry on doing good deeds? Shall we depend and give up work and therefore depend on that which has been already written? The Prophet ﷺ admonished them by saying, لا, nay, اعملوا, but carry on doing good deeds. فَكُلُّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ For everyone will find easy to do such deeds as will lead him to that for which he has been created. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recited the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى As for him who gives in charity and keeps his duty to Allah and fears him and believe in husna, husna is the tawheed and all the manifestations of tawheed, we shall make smooth for him the path of ease, the path of ease of goodness. This is in chapter 92, verses 5-10. This hadith, therefore, is evidence that cuts off what people may say as a pretext for doing sins. So they may commit sins and say, هذا مكتوب علي, this is written for me, it's already written for me. This is not a proof. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. Rather, carry on doing good deeds, for everyone will find easy to do such deeds as will lead him to that which he has been created. So, is there anyone who keeps you from or prevents you from doing righteous deeds if you want them? Never. No. Sakallah khair, sister Ummah. Yes. Does anyone confine you or prevent you from doing righteous deeds if you want to do them? No, never. Okay. هل أحد يجبرك على المعصية لو لم تردها? Is there anyone that compels you to do a sin if you didn't want it to do it? No, no one. So, if someone compels you to do a sin, then there will be nothing يعني, upon you. Meaning you will not acquire a sinful deed. And therefore you will not carry the consequences of someone who would do it in the other way, who are doing it by choice. Even disbelief, which is the greatest of sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states regarding this, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ The one who disbelieves in Allah after having believed, except him who is forced thereto and whose heart is at rest, meaning with iman, with faith. يعني there is nothing upon him. ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا. But the blame is on whom? But such as open their breasts to disbelief, and on them is wrath from Allah, and theirs will be a great torment. These are the ones who are going to be held accountable. Not even the one who is made to disbelieve after his faith out of compelling, yet when his heart is at rest with iman. This is not blame, even in this gravest sin. And thus we say, act, O man, act righteously, and avoid evil, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads you to al-yusra, to that which is easy, and keeps you away from that which is usra, hard, hardship. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah promised him that he will make easy for him the easy way of doing righteousness. And that's why there hasn't been any situation where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced a difficulty, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put for him and made for him an easy way out. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, فَذَكِّرْ, and thus, and therefore, remind. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. فَذَكِّرْ, remind men, in case the reminder profits them. This is the translation of the meaning. Okay. Meaning, remind men, mankind. Remind them of the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of the days of Allah. Admonish them. إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى, meaning in case the reminder profits them, and if it doesn't, then don't admonish them. Then there is no benefit from admonishing some people knowing that they don't get the benefit. This is what has been said regarding the meaning of this verse. Some of the scholars also are with the opinion that the meaning of this verse is, admonish them no matter what. Admonish them regardless of their situation. This verse is from verse number 9 in Surah 87, which we are discussing now, which we are explaining. Okay. So, the second opinion is that, no matter what, admonish them and remind them. And the reminder will benefit. It will benefit the believers, and it will benefit that the one who is being reminded. On any case. And if the one who is being reminded is not benefiting from it, he's still a believer. I'm sorry. The one who is being reminded, if he benefits from it, then he is a believer. And otherwise, this will not diminish from the reward of the one who is reminding. And thus, according to the second opinion, ذكر سواء نفعت الذكر أم لم تنفع. Remind them, whether the admonition or the reminder will benefit them or it will not. Also, some of the scholars have said, if the person thinks that the admonition or the reminder is beneficial, then it becomes obligatory. Yet, if he thinks that it is not beneficial, in the Latin fact, it will have no effect, then he has the choice. If he wishes, he may, and if he wishes, he may not. Despite all of that, nevertheless, لا بد من التذكير. There should be the reminder. Even though you may think it may not benefit. Why? Because it will benefit you. And people will know that this thing that you are reminding them about is either a wajib, is either an obligatory matter, or it may be haram, unlawful. And if you keep silent while people are doing the haram, then people may say, well, had this been an unlawful matter, then the learned men of knowledge would have reminded us regarding it. Or they would say, had it been an obligatory matter, then the ulama, the scholars, would have reminded us about it. And therefore, from this we know that it is labud, it's a must to remind and to propagate the sharia, whether it will benefit or not. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us as to who will benefit and as to who will not. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. The reminder will be received by him who fears Allah. وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. But it will be avoided by the wretched. it will be avoided by the wretched. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that mankind are, after the reminder, are of two types. The first type, those who fear Allah Azza wa Jal, knowing His greatness, subhanahu wa ta'ala, those, if they are reminded by the verses of Allah, they will be receiving it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Ibadur Rahman, the slaves of Allah, the most beneficent, by saying, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا. As in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, verse 73, and those who, when they are reminded of the verses of Allah, of His revelations, His verses, His lessons of their Lord, fall not deaf and blind thereat. So these are Ibadur Rahman, those who are qualified of being the slaves of the most merciful, of the most beneficent, and those who, when they are reminded of the verses of Allah, of their Lord, fall not deaf and blind thereat. The second type is those mentioned in the second verse. It will be avoided by the wretched. The reminder will be avoided by the wretched. So he will avoid it and he will not benefit from it. Al-ashqa here is derived from ashqa, from wretchedness, and it is on opposition to happiness. As stated in Surah Hud, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ شَقَوْ فَفِي النَّارِ. As to those who are wretched, then they will be in the fire of hell. Hud, verse 106. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُعِدُوا فَفِي الْجَنَّةِ. And as for those who are the happy ones, they will be in al-Jannah, in paradise. So this one is wretched. He will avoid the reminder and the admonition and will not benefit from it. And al-Ashqa is, in Arabic, البالغ في الشقاوة غايتها, one who had reached the utmost of wretchedness, and this is the kafir, this is the disbeliever. The kafir يذكر, he may receive the reminder but may not benefit from it. He may not benefit from it. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the wretched who receive and does not benefit from that, is الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى, who will enter the great fire and will be made to taste its burning. And this is the fire of hell. Why? This, the fire of this life, is nothing compared to that of the hereafter. In fact, it has been authenticated from the Prophet ﷺ in an authentic narration, in an nara dunya, the fire of this life, is only a part from 70 parts of the fire of the hereafter. This hadith is reported in Sahih Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described here the great fire, that the kafir will enter the great fire, meaning if he dies on the state of kufr, and will be made to taste its burning. He called it An-Nar al-Kubra, the great one. And the fire of this life, which we know and we experience and we use and utilize, is the small one. And we heard in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this life is only part of 70 parts with respect to that of the hereafter. So that of the hereafter excelled over this one by 69 parts. And when we say the life of this world, we meaning all of it, meaning the most intense of it, okay, compared to that of the great one in the hereafter, is only 1 to 70 in ratio. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the other one of the hereafter, justice for all peace high, is the great one. Then neither die to be in rest nor live a good living. It means that the one who enters that fire of hell, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save it
to save us from it. It means that he doesn't die and therefore rest, and he doesn't live a happy life in joy. In fact, they are like living in reality, but what? Living in torture. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about them, describing their state in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 56, كُلَّمَا نَضُجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا. As often as their skins are roasted through, we shall change them for other skins that they may taste the punishment. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. We seek refuge in Allah from that. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about them, when they are there in the fire of hell, they will call upon Malik, and Malik is the keeper of the fire of hell. وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكُ. And they called upon, يَا مَالِكُ. O Malik, لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ. Let your Lord finish us and destroy us, and relieve us from this torment. What was the response of Malik? قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. He said, you are indeed staying, and there is no rest. And there will be, it will be told to them, وَيُقَالُ لَهُمْ لَقَدْ جِئْنَاكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. As in Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse 78, we have brought to you the truth, but most of you hated the truth and rejected it. This is the meaning, لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا, neither die to be in rest, nor live a good life. And if someone may say, how is it that man, you know, is neither living nor dying? It will be said, لا يموت فيها ميت يستريح بها. He doesn't die therein a death whereby he will rest, and he doesn't live a life whereby he will be in joy. He is in torment and chastisement in the fire of hell, and he will be in such an intense state that from the punishment that he will hope for death, but that will not occur to him. This is the meaning, لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. There he will neither die to be in rest or nor live a good life. Here inshallah we stop. We have finished, alhamdulillah, 14 of the verses, or 13 of the verses, and inshallah we continue tomorrow. We finish inshallah tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, the rest of the surah, Surah Al-A'la, which is number 87. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen for this great explanation of these verses. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. وجزاكم الله خير for your attentive stay here. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make of this a benefit for myself and for all of you. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.